Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Another day, another 10,000 confirmed and probable cases of COVID-19 in Illinois. On Monday, Governor J.B. Pritzker imposed additional restrictions in southern Illinois and several suburban counties, such as limiting gatherings to 10 people rather than 25. Meanwhile, some restaurants and bars in parts of the state continue defying the governor's orders aimed at limiting the spread of coronavirus disease. Meanwhile, President Trump and many Republicans in Congress continue to reject media projections that Joe Biden is the president-elect, and the Trump administration official responsible for government services like office space and IT infrastructure has refused to sign off on Biden's projected victory, delaying the presidential transition. Joining us to talk about this and more is Illinois U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth. She's a Democrat elected in 2016, a veteran of the Iraq War, and previously served as an Assistant Secretary of Veterans Affairs under President Obama. Senator Duckworth, welcome to the 21st.
It's so good to be on. Thanks for having me.
And listeners, we've got a lot of ground to cover in our conversation today, but if you have a question for the senator, you can join our conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455, or you can always tweet us at 21st Show. Senator, I want to begin by asking you, how worried are you on Tuesday morning, 1 week after Election Day, about the peaceful transition of power?
I'm deeply concerned, especially since yesterday President Trump fired the Secretary of Defense, and we are hearing rumors that the head of both the FBI and the CIA might be on his chopping block as well, as in addition to the administration is not cooperating with the transition process. So I think that President Trump, you know, with his very fragile ego, is choosing his personal interest over that of the entire country, and it will make for these next several months to be very difficult ones for the nation.
A lot of Democrats and even some Republicans in the never Trump camp, I guess, were hoping for a repudiation of President Trump, or at least his style of politics and governance. But the president actually got more votes this year than he did in his first run for office. And I wonder, what does that say from your perspective about the American people?
And he lost. I thought that this was a major victory for Americans who wanted things to go back to a functioning government with a president who will put the well-being of the American people first. And remember that President-elect Biden got more votes than Donald Trump. We had the largest turnout in our nation in a very long time, if you look at percentage-wise, and total numbers. And I think it was a clear mandate. President-elect Biden flipped multiple states that Trump had won and has gotten, you know, we flipped two Senate seats. I think that it's very clear that the American people said, hey, we want our health care to be the number one priority. We want a president who is going to put the well-being of the people first and not be a tyrant toddler in chief. And they made their voices heard.
Well, you mentioned flipping two Senate seats, but of course, Senator Jones also lost one in Alabama. And as it stands right now, it seems like control of the Senate will be determined by the two runoff elections in Georgia. If Democrats are not able to win either of those seats, the Senate will be at 52-48 in favor of Republicans. And we got a number of questions from listeners on things they'd like to see Congress do. Nathan in DeKalb texted to mention federal child allowances, baby bonds, or other kinds of universal basic incomes. He writes, I believe the Senate Democrats should focus on building their proposals for the welfare state. Meanwhile, we got a text also from Nick in Denver, Colorado, who mentioned things like statehood for the District of Columbia and expanding the Supreme Court. But, Senator, I wonder, with a Biden presidency without Democratic control of the Senate, will they be able to pass any meaningful legislation?
Well, let me just start off by saying that I reject this welfare state. I reject socialism. What I support is putting health and well-being first. And so what we need to do is make sure that Americans have access to affordable health care. We're in the middle of a global pandemic, the first thing that Joe Biden needs to do is to address that. And he's already started it by, identifying his COVID-19 task force. We have to get this pandemic under control. And then we have to make sure that all Americans have access to affordable health care of their choice. And that can be, for example, by putting a public option on the exchange. It can be by allowing offering buy-in to Medicare for 55 or 50-year-olds and older, so that it is your choice to buy into it. It is your choice to use the public option. Those are some things we can do, and I think those are topics that most Americans would support. I think that we need to rejoin the Paris Accord. We need to rejoin the World Health Organization. We need to rejoin NATO and take our leadership role. I think those are all things that we can do in a very bipartisan way that the vast majority of Americans support. So there's a lot that can be done. And I think that it is time for my Republican colleagues to roll up their sleeves and let's start a new era of cooperation and working together as opposed to the Trump era of dividing us as a nation. Because that clearly did not work. We have 230,000 dead Americans and 8 million infected with COVID-19 under the Trump version of America. I think it's time to move forward.
But the divisions, especially with a divided government, I mean, we saw in the last years of the Obama administration, you were in the House at that time, but we saw particularly in the Senate under the control of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell working very hard to obstruct President Obama. Do you have any reason to believe that things would be different or will be different under a Biden administration?
I don't have any reason to believe that Mitch McConnell will suddenly want to cooperate in any way. I think he would do everything that he can to undermine because he does not have the well-being of the American people at his as his number one priority either. But I do hope that my Republican colleagues, especially those from Midwestern states, would care to put the well-being of their constituents first. And I would do everything that I can to reach out to them. In the meantime, I think that we can't let one man, Mitch McConnell, stop our work for the well-being of the American people. And I hope that the American people will send a message to my colleagues, to my Republican colleagues, that, hey, you know what? You need to protect protections for pre-existing conditions, for example, because they sent that message loud and clear the last time the Republicans tried to take away Americans' health care. And then we won that fight. So I think we're going to have an opportunity to win fights. Ideally, they wouldn't be fights. I surely my colleagues can agree to, in the middle of a global pandemic, to make sure that Americans have access to health care.
If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey, and we are speaking with Illinois U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth. A question that is, I think, on a lot of listeners' minds, it's certainly always relevant at this point in the election cycles. And we did get a text message from Michael in Charleston who asks, I am curious if she would consider a cabinet post, and if so, which position? And I should add that Politico had a sort of reading of the Tea Leaves article that mentioned you as a potential Secretary of Defense. Where are you on, if President-elect Biden were to ask you to join his cabinet?
Well, let me say that I have the best job already. I get to be U.S. Senator, and I get to work on all sorts of issues. So it would take a lot for me to step away from the Senate. That said, I always say that, you know how some girls always fall for the drummer in the band? I always fall for the line, your country needs you to serve. So, of course, I would be great honored if President-elect Biden were to say to me, Tammy, I need you to help. But I'll wait for him to make that decision. In the meantime, I'm going to help him from the Senate in any way that I can to make sure that we restore the strength of our military, that we support our military men and women, and we take our, we take our leadership role on a global stage. And then we have a lot to do with healthcare and agriculture. I mean, my farmers in Illinois are really suffering right now, and we need to make sure we watch out for them as well.
I want to turn now back to Illinois matters. Last week, the State Journal Register quoted you saying the ongoing investigation surrounding Speaker Madigan is an unnecessary distraction and makes it harder to carry out the work of helping the people of Illinois, end quote. You also said, quote, the Illinois Democratic Party and the Illinois House of Representatives should consider new leadership, end quote. Why are you taking that position now?
You know, I just think that with the presidential election, with a new start with President-elect Biden at the national level, I think that it is time that we move forward and take that momentum, take that initiative to progress as well in our home state. There's a lot that needs to be done, and I'm going to leave my statement as it is. I think it's an opportunity for new leadership in state government, just as we now have new leadership in the federal government.
I mean, your colleague, Senator Durbin, was on WTTW last week suggesting that Speaker Madigan should be introspective and that he might have cost Democrats the graduated income tax proposal they wanted, as well as the Illinois Supreme Court Justice Thomas Kilbride's retention race. Do you share that view that the Speaker bears responsibility because of the way Republicans have successfully made him the face of Illinois Democrats?
I would agree with my senior senator. Yes, I do agree with Dick Durbin on that. I don't know that Mike Madigan shares the full responsibility for those two failures, but I think that he is a key reason why we lost that Supreme Court seat and why we were not able to get the graduated tax to pass. And I think that after his many decades of service, and we have to be grateful to, you know, we have to thank him for that, that it's time for new leadership.
Today in Washington, I believe, the U.S. Supreme Court is hearing yet another challenge to the Affordable Care Act. We haven't had a chance to talk since the nomination of now Justice Amy Coney Barrett, who has in the past written that she thought Chief Justice John Roberts did not rule correctly on one of the earlier Affordable Care Act decisions. How concerned are you about the future of the Affordable Care Act, that it might be overruled by the U.S. Supreme Court on this latest attempt of multiple attempts over the years?
I'm very concerned. I am deeply concerned that Americans, over 20 million Americans, might be losing their health insurance as a result of the upcoming Supreme Court ruling. Now, remember, they're hearing the case on the right now, actually today, but the ruling will come after President-elect Biden takes office. It's a real concern, and we are, as I said, in the middle of a global pandemic. Americans cannot afford to lose their health insurance, and that's what we're faced with. But that's where we are when we have the Supreme Court stacked and packed with these far right wing activist judges. And Amy Coney Barrett has been very clear that she thinks that the Affordable Care Act, basically should be dismantled. And so I am very deeply concerned. It means that we're going to have even more work in front of us next year to make sure that should the Supreme Court rule against it and we see the end of the Affordable Care Act, we come up with some other way to allow Americans to have access to health care and also to make sure that we protect for people with pre-existing conditions.
Only a few minutes left in our conversation, and tomorrow is Veterans Day. I mentioned earlier in our conversation that you were previously in the Obama-era Veterans Administration. You were also head of the Department of Veterans Affairs here in Illinois for a time under Governor Blagojevich. I want to ask, we got a question from one of our listeners via text message. Wendy in Rock City says, I would like Senator Duckworth to give an update on what the Senate is doing, has done, about the disturbing suicide rate among veterans.
Well, the Senate has passed quite a few pieces of legislation. I personally helped pass the piece of legislation way back in my first term in the United States House of Representatives in 2015 and 2016, called the Clay Hunt Suicide Prevention Act. We have then continued to push to make sure that the DOD and VA are providing that secure handoff. What was happening, and this came from my time at the state of Illinois, was you would have veterans come home, but the active duty military never told me, as the state director of Veterans Affairs, that I had a veteran coming home. So I would have to hope that that individual walked into one of my offices to ask for help. And that's really not the best way to do it. We need to make sure that we have a good, strong handoff from when they leave the military and become veterans. I started the first 24-hour suicide prevention hotline in Illinois, even before the VA started theirs. And the Senate is continuing to push to make sure that we provide those wraparound services so that there is no wrong door for veterans when they come in to ask for help. That said, it's an ongoing fight. We know that the effects of post-traumatic stress, we know that the effects of military service will continue well in decades later. You may have a veteran who is holding it all together, but 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road, there's a triggering event that leads them down the path, unfortunately, towards depression and potential self-harm. And we need to allow them to have access to all sorts of off-ramps on that path so that they can get the help that they need. And I will be there every step of the way to make sure that we fulfill our promise to our veterans.
And just briefly, in maybe 30 seconds or less that we have remaining, anything else that you hope a Biden administration does differently, specifically as it relates to Veterans Affairs, than has been the case under the Trump administration?
Well, I want the to complete the handoff, you know, from DOD to VA. Right now, there's not a shared electronic medical health record between the two agencies. So I'll give you an example. When I left the DOD and I left Walter Reed with my electronic medical records, I had to wait 90 days to be admitted into the VA system, and I had to bring and by the way, I had to go in to get a physical from a physician's assistant to prove that I was still an amputee because the VA would not accept the DOD's health records.
All right. All right. Well, Senator Duckworth, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. We're going to have to leave it there. Senator Tammy Duckworth is the Democratic senator from a Democratic senator from Illinois. Thank you for your time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. For 150 years, Busey has helped business owners and entrepreneurs navigate financial decisions, achieve long-term goals, and realize dreams of success. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.